Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me this morning to talk a little bit about his campaign for House District 4 in the state legislature, Anthony Allison is here in our studios. Good morning, Mr. Allison. It's good to see you.
Good morning, sir.
Good to have you
here. Good to see you also, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I want to start by asking you a bit about the campaign, because I imagine it's a little bit different, being as this is 2020, and you can't really do a normal political campaign. So how are you getting the word out about your reelection?
Okay, yeah, it has been a very interesting campaign. You know, with COVID, we're being confined to the homes. It's really hard to get out and have people see you and talk to them one-on-one. I like that because you can see the facial expressions of the people you're talking to. And even the Zoom meetings, I have a hard time with the Zoom meetings because you really don't see the facial expression of the people. And I'm a people person, so I like to interact. I like to shake hands. I like to give hugs because some people like hugs. And it's just been very, very different. But we've been campaigning on the radio and a little bit on Facebook and just using the local media. And also, we just started running ads in the local newspapers and the Navajo Times.
Very good. And so what's the reaction been from the voters that you have been talking with? What are they most concerned about during this year's campaign?
Well, the big issue today is economic development. You know, with the power plants closing, a lot of people think that I should have had a bigger part in it. But the determination was made by the power plant due to economic constraints that it was planning to shut down several years ago. And that was evidenced by the closure of the two units earlier, even before I was elected. And now I'm kind of rooting for Enchant to see what they can do with the carbon capture. I've got family and relatives and many, many friends that are working at the coal plants, so I don't want to see anybody get left out in the cold. And in my last campaign 2 years ago, I had advocated for renewable energy. The one thing that I wish we would be seeing now is that I wish there was work on the ground ongoing now, so that as the power plant is starting to go down, something on the ground in the field of renewable energy, whether it be solar energy or wind turbines, they should be starting up so they meet halfway to minimize the period of unemployment that's going to exist between the power plant shutting down and the renewables starting up. So I really wish that they could meet halfway so that period of unemployment is very, very minimized.
Sure. And of course, you mentioned Enchant, which is the city of Farmington's partner to kind of take over the Salem Generating mm-hmm. Station and maybe do some carbon capture and keep the plant operating and keep the mine operating and mm-hmm. save some of these jobs that you're talking about. Yes. I know PNM's replacement power proposal does have some renewables, but of course the jobs aren't one-to-one, so they aren't going to replace as many jobs that could be lost if the plant were and mine were to close.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're not going to replace all the jobs, but you know, we got to accept technology, whether we agree with it or not. You know, coal is going out nationwide, so we just have to support what's available to us. And as I said, I support the amendment that was made in the Energy Transition Act to allow Enchant to be at the table. And I was glad to see that because, like I said, I got family, relatives, and many friends that are still working at the mine, and I want them to continue. I spent 37 and a half years in the coal mining industry, so I know the value of keeping those good jobs. It offered me a comfortable retirement. I'm retired now, and I just wish the same thing, the same success for my fellow workers.
Right. And you know then the importance of other high-paying jobs too, right? When you talk economic development, right? If some of these jobs are going away, what can we do in District 4 to bring in other jobs that maybe are of the same pay scale or same caliber as those coal jobs that are maybe going away in some degree?
Okay. Some of the jobs that we might possibly entice is going to be hard to match the wages of the power plant that was offering good wages for many, many years. But from the Navajo Nation side, there is a lot of cleanup to be done on the uranium tailings. And I had co-sponsored a legislation with a person from across the aisle. And we were talking about the feasibility of a railroad system coming into the Farmington area. You know, that could help so many businesses export their products, particularly like the Navajo agricultural products industries. And then also we would use the rail to transport in the cleaning equipment that's going to be needed for the uranium cleanup.
Right. And that was my next question to you, was about this railroad project and proposal that's being talked about. There was a big grant just awarded to San Juan County, and of course the county and I think the tribe are major partners in some of this conversation to kind of get rail into this part of the state. That would be an economic driver, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be. You know, you can use that railroad for so many different things, and the most economical, I think, would be for the local businesses to export and import some of the products that they need. And it could really open up for a lot of businesses to come here because we got the workforce and we got the land to offer to them. And who knows, maybe we could even run some passengers for the people that want to come shopping or come into Farmington for the weekend or whatever. So it's going to have multi-uses, and I think as you mentioned, the city and the tribe have to sit at the table to negotiate, collaborate, and cooperate.
Right. And what about your friends at the legislature? Do you think when the time comes, would there be some bipartisan support to support a project like this? It's expensive, and I know money isn't as freewheeling as it maybe was in some years in Santa Fe, but do you think some of the folks in Santa Fe might see the value of this type of a big-ticket project for economic development in this corner of the state?
Yes, most definitely. Like I said, I co-sponsored with a bipartisan party from the other side, from across the aisle. But I think most of the legislators in this area would definitely support a rail coming into the Four Corners area because it's going to have many benefits, some that we probably have not even thought about. And it's just going to open doors for economic opportunity.
Sure. But you certainly would need more support than just the local delegation, right? You need to convince maybe your colleagues from down south and even in the metro the benefits of this project.
Yes, most definitely. And I believe, like I said, we have the local legislation support. And I know that we're going to have support from the rest of the legislators, especially when, you know, if it's introduced or carried by a major party leader in the legislature. I just believe that this is something that we need bipartisan support, and I know we're going to get it statewide because we help one another. No one person can do big tasks like this by themselves. We need bipartisan support, and I believe that we have the cooperation between the legislators that are in the Four Corners area.
Very good. Anthony Allison's my guest this morning. He is a Democrat running for re-election in District 4 to the State House of Representatives. Mr. Allison, let me ask you, too, a little bit about the upcoming legislative session. If you were to win, of course, your election, you'd go back to Santa Fe. And this year, next year, 2021, is a 60-day session. What are some of the issues that you feel are going to be presented to the legislature? Obviously, budget's going to be a big deal because of COVID and some of the economic challenges that the state and businesses are seeing this year.
Okay, I'm really looking forward to the 60-day session, and I'm very optimistic that I will return for the 60-day session. But anyway, one of the key issues, as you mentioned, was the economic development. We need to look statewide to see what we can bring into the state. And then another issue that I believe that's going to be a hot topic would be the legalization of cannabis. And right now I'm on the fence where I'm going to listen to my constituents. It is viewed as an economic opportunity, but I have some reservations as to what might be recreational could become an addiction to some people, and that's where I'm sitting on the fence. I have to see hard evidence that it is solid economic opportunity.
Got you. It seems to be there is some other support, though, about this type of legislation for the legislative session. The governor seems to be in favor of at least talking about it during the 60-day session. So you're open, I guess, to hearing what your constituents say, and you're on the fence, could go either way.
Yes. I know the governor and several friends in the legislature are really pushing this, and like I said, I'm sitting on the fence at this time, but I need to really hear the pros and the cons. I have more cons than the pros at this time, but I'm going to listen with all ears and just make the best decision for what my constituents in District 4 would want me to do.
Understood. A lot of folks might say it certainly would be a revenue generator for the state during these times when revenues are a bit hard to come by. And so that can't be all of the conversation, though, I suppose. It just can't be a moneymaker for the state.
Yes, we have to look at all avenues to replace what we lost in the power plants and the oil and gas. So that's why I'm listening with both ears to the possibility of legalizing cannabis. But at this time, some of my constituents are telling me that it is not right for our area. But I have to listen to both sides and make the best decision based on the feedback from my constituents.
Certainly. Understood. And we just have a couple of minutes remaining this morning. Mr. Allison, let me ask you a little bit about the rest of the energy industry in northwest New Mexico. That would be oil and natural gas. And both of those have been challenged over the last few years with low prices and things along that line. Is there anything that the state could do to help these industries? There's concern about maybe methane regulations and things along that line. The other side would say we need to contain that methane gas so it doesn't go out and harm the environment and maybe try to sell it and make some money off of it. What's wrong with that?
Yes, I support recapturing the methane so that it does give us cleaner air. But I don't think we should let it dissipate and disappear. When you see that, you see dollar signs floating away. So we need to capture the methane and make the best use of it that we possibly can. And as far as the oil and gas, a lot of my constituents, especially in the Eastern Navajo agencies, get royalties from the oil fields. So I still am supportive of the royalties that my fellow constituents get. So I still support the oil and gas industry, but I have second thoughts about the fracking. I believe in getting clean energy, make it as clean as possible without harming the environment any more than we have to.
Understood. And final thoughts about education. Certainly the state has been under some scrutiny about the way it funds education, and so the legislature, I know, comes up with money every year for the school districts, and I think a lot of your colleagues and maybe even yourself would like to see better outcomes for our students in our public schools. This year, of course, has been very challenging for students who have had to learn at home and maybe not be able to go to the classroom as much as they would like. So what do you think the education budget is going to look like in 2021?
With the education budget, you know, we relied a lot on the coal plant nearby and also the oil and gas industry. But I have heard my colleagues discuss, my friends and my colleagues, they have discussed the permanent land fund. That has been growing an escrow, you know, for a rainy day. And we have talked about introducing legislation to do a study to see if we could convert some of that permanent land trust fund into education, because it has not been tapped into very, very much. And in the field of education, I really, really support doing all that we can to fund it, because I've got grandchildren that are now in the local school districts. And when this pandemic hit, there was three things that really showed where our weaknesses were, and that was infrastructure. You know, especially on the Navajo Nation, there was limited amount of running water, no electricity, and then when the children were dismissed for the school year, they were told to attend online classes virtually from home. And then I guess they must have made that determination without knowing that there is limited access to internet and broadband on the Navajo Nation. Several times I used to see students from Shiprock and surrounding areas coming to Farmington to the local Burger King or Kmart or McDonald's to do their homework because that's where they could get free internet. So I sponsored a legislation with a fellow legislator from McKinley County on exploring and expanding broadband internet. At that time, we were challenged by the PRC, but I think it's a goal for the PRC now to expand internet broadband. And I'm working with a company, and they have kind of got their foot in the door by activating a 911 system into the Navajo Nation, the Baklabato area. And I'm really going to work with them and push them to see if we can get broadband through the entire District 4.
Very good. Well, and certainly this pandemic has shown us just how important internet access is for a number of things, whether you're working from home or going to school from home. And so if places don't have it, they are suffering more than maybe other places. And a lot of those places are in your district.
Yes. And I think the pandemic has showed us a lot more like cooperation and caring for one another. You know, we look out for one another, and the pandemic knows no party lines, and we just all have to work together to make it the best for all of us so that we can survive this with much success.
Very true. Well, Mr. Allison, thank you for joining me this morning. If folks want to find out more or get in contact with you, you have a Facebook page, a website that folks can do that?
Yes, we have a Facebook page and we have a website. And if you want to talk to me directly, my phone number is 505-787-8494. And I'm open to all calls, and I just love talking to people. We hope to hear from you.
You can do it safely. That's better than a hug, probably, these days anyway.
That's right. We can do it safely.
Very good. Anthony Allison, thank you for coming in this morning and speaking with me. I appreciate it.
Yes, and please follow your directives from the State Department of Health. Wear your mask, wash your hands frequently, and social distance. Make it a great day.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.